We'll get some analysis from the United States in a minute, but first to Donald Trump's position on Afghanistan over the years. I'm going to play you three comments starting in 2012, which show a very different view to the one we heard today. Let's take a listen.
Afghanistan is a total and complete disaster. What are we doing? We have all of these horrible events taking place there. We can't even run our own country. Get out of Afghanistan. We've wasted billions and billions of dollars, and more importantly, thousands and thousands of lives, not to mention all of these young men and women that come home and they really have problems. Let's go. Let's get with it. We need leaders that know what they're doing.
Do you believe that American boots should stay on the ground in Afghanistan to stabilize the situation?
I wouldn't totally disagree with it, except, you know, at some point, are they going to be there for the next 200 years? You know, at some point, what's going on? It's going to be a long time. We made a terrible mistake getting involved there in the first place. We had real brilliant thinkers that didn't know what the hell they were doing.
About Afghanistan, you said we made a terrible mistake getting involved there in the first place.
We made a mistake going into Iraq. I've never said we made a mistake going into Afghanistan.
Our question was about Afghanistan. That day on October 6th, it was
about
Afghanistan. Well,
okay, wouldn't matter. I never said it.
President Donald Trump. To discuss this significant reversal and what this new approach means, I spoke to James Fallows, a national correspondent for The Atlantic and a non-resident fellow at the Lowy Institute in Sydney. James Fallows, Donald Trump's speech today was an exact opposite of what he's been saying in the past few years about Afghanistan.
It certainly was. On the campaign trail, and even after his election last November, he was saying that one of his main missions was getting the United States out of open-ended, inconclusive, essentially irresolvable conflicts, which Afghanistan, which as he pointed out, is the United States' longest war, would certainly be an example. So this is a speech that any mainstream Republican or Democratic security person could have given over the last 15 years, essentially saying we have to stay the course in Afghanistan without any real evidence or argument that the result would be any different from what George W. Bush or Barack Obama had come up with.
He said, and he explained it very briefly in his speech, that my original instinct was to pull out, but decisions are much different when you sit behind the desk in the Oval Office. Do you think that is a sufficient 180-degree turn?
That would be more convincing if anything else about his performance in office had shown that awareness. But to be more, to give him the benefit of the doubt, there has been, as I'm sure your listeners know, in the past week, one more phase of the struggle within the White House, where Steve Bannon, who had been the strongest proponent of this more nationalistic anti-intervention strategy, had been pushed out. And it's, you know, Trump was presenting himself as having, with deliberation, sifted through the evidence and deciding that things could go on. And maybe that is so, but there's nothing else he has done in office which has seemed to evince that trait.
Do you see any relationship in the exit of Steve Bannon only days before this announcement was made? Because on the one hand, you've got Jim Mattis, John Nicholson, H.R. McMaster, his new chief of staff, John Kelly, all ex-military men. And then Steve Bannon, who didn't want to be in Afghanistan, he's gone.
Very significant to see over the week or so after the speech how this this statement by Trump, which is exactly the sort of thing he had been just ridiculing when he was running for office, how that seems to sit with his famous base and with some of his more conservative backers in the Republican Party in the Congress, because, you know, the crux of this issue is essentially whether further investment in a slightly tweaked strategy in Afghanistan is going to lead to a different result from what Australian officials and American officials and European officials have seen in the past 15 years. The argument that Trump had been making on the campaign trail and that Bannon had been associated with was it's time to be realistic about these things, that if there's a war you can't win, decide not to increase your exposure.
The speculation was that the announcement was going to be several thousand more troops for Afghanistan, but the announcement was actually, we're not going to tell you what troop commitments and movements and timetables we have now.
When Obama, early in his term, announced a surge for Afghanistan but said it was going to be time limited, after 18 months or whatever, it would be drawn down. And Trump used that as an argument that you had to keep people on their toes, you couldn't show anything about what you're going to do, etc. So I think that at least is consistent with his past views, so he could say this is the way we're going to stay under wraps. In normal administrations, the Congress would then say, what do you mean? You know, exactly how many troops are we talking about?
Yeah, because Congress aren't going to take this secrecy lying down, are they?
That is, in fact, the question, because the Republicans in Congress have so far taken almost everything that Trump has proposed, and we'll see whether this is a case when, in committing more troops to war, whether they're going to want to say, let's hear more about the strategy, let's hear about the numbers, let's hear about the risks.
Analysts have said for a long time now, you're not going to solve the problems of Afghanistan without addressing the issues with Pakistan, and this seems to be one of the major parts of this speech. Is he hinting at economic sanctions against Pakistan?
It's very difficult to know what he's hinting at, and this is, in a way, this is like his belated discovery that in dealing with North Korea, China is an important player, but it's a complex situation. For as long as I have known anything about American politics or military policy, the challenge of dealing with Pakistan has been one of these hard problems. Pakistan is central to this issue, but there's only so much leverage the U.S. or anyone else has over it. So he's acting as if he's going to be tougher with them, but that doesn't change the realities that the United States and its allies have.
Do you think it's realistic that he can drag Pakistan more into this effort to root out the Taliban and the other terrorist groups that are achieving safe haven in Pakistan?
You know, the challenge for officials from all of the NATO allies and from the U.S. and from Australia and others who've been involved in this effort for nearly the last generation is understanding the sophistications of Pakistan's own internal snarl and the leverage that outside forces have over it and the leverage that they lack. You know, Pakistan is a nuclear power. It has its own interests and its own complications. So asserting that the U.S. is going to be tougher with Pakistan doesn't necessarily change those fundamentals.
One of the other things that stood out was the use of this term principled realism and that there will be no more nation building and democracy building by the United States. What does that mean?
You know, that was actually the transition from the George W. Bush era to Barack Obama, because George W. Bush, especially in the early days after the Iraq War, had been very high on the idea that the solution to terrorism in the long run was to bring democracy to that troubled part of the world. And Obama although he was seen as, you know, a Nobel Peace Prize winning idealist in various ways, his view towards Iraq and Afghanistan was much more sort of pragmatic and saying, look, we need to find ways to reduce the disruption and terrorism coming from there, but we are realistic about the prospects for remaking those societies. So in a sense, that would be an argument against George W. Bush, not against Obama, and it's not clear how that's connected to what the strategy Donald Trump was announcing, because the most obvious implication would be to say what Joe Biden, the vice president, used to say is, let's find ways to reduce the potential export of terrorism. Otherwise, we recognize this is a society we can't transform.
James Fallows, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
James Fallows speaking to me from Washington, D.C.